I mean, the reality is anybody can change at any moment. And life is actually very simple. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, what you've had, whatever karma, it can be wiped away the minute you decide to reorient that. And the most important thing is your intent. That'll take you the rest of the way. So the thing that what does that mean? You could be in jail right now, but your intent is to get pure and you'll be pure, right? And that's it. It has to take you, but that intent has to be there. And that's to me, that is the most important thing that you can have. And what you're really doing is you're raising your sights. You're moving them beyond the worldly aspect of it. And you're raising them something larger than yourself or larger than any activity or action that you're doing.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest deeply believes that without inner peace, no level of success matters. With it, every level of success becomes possible. Adam Hergenrother created multiple companies that became a billion-dollar organization in 2019. After having what many people would call success, and after years of grinding in order to find fulfillment, he found himself asking the questions, why has success not given me endless happiness? And is this all there really is? This sparked his exploration into spirituality. Now he believes that spirituality and business go hand in hand, and that you can't find true outer success without inner peace and spirituality. He's the author of his new book, The 200% Life, Your Guide to Spiritual Growth and Business Success Without Meditating on a Mountaintop. Living a 200% life means thriving at 100% in each your outer world and your inner world. Adam also shares his key to success, which is to relax, release, and act. Adam, I am very excited to have you here. You're a big proponent of bringing together spirituality and business. And I forget, one of your quotes is like, they can't exist essentially without the other.
Yeah, that, and I always love, started off early on, has been a kind of theme in my life, is business is nothing but a conduit for personal growth. And that's, you know, business is, you can change that into life is nothing but a conduit for personal growth. But particularly when you're in a business setting, there are so many things that happen in business that you wouldn't sign up for, right? Like you wouldn't sign up for a lawsuit. You wouldn't sign up for having to figure out how to make payroll. You wouldn't sign up for having six employees leave at the same time, or, you know, an HR issue that you never thought one of your employees. I mean, there's just so many things that, like, just you wouldn't go put yourself in to have to learn and grow through if it wasn't for business in itself.
Yes. And I think what you're doing is is really important, because there's so many business leaders who aren't spiritual or don't have the highest morals. And then that creates these businesses that act in the same exact way. And I love your story, man, that, you know, you found all the success, but then you still felt like pretty empty and not really fulfilled in what you were doing. And then there's such beauty in that, because you had to get to that place to then go inward, right? You had to have all the success, kind of feel empty in order to hit that point of view to be like, okay, everything out there is good. Now let me go back inside.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly right. It's a pretty traditional story when you hear people. I think a lot of individuals, particularly as successfully driven business owners, leaders, or, you know, high charging employees, right? I think we all, you know, here's what it really comes down to, Justin, is in the beginning, you know, people told me to go out. I say in the beginning when I graduated from high school, kind of into college, people said, go be successful, Adam, go be successful. And really what I've come to define as what people are really saying is if you go get enough money, power, fame, leverage, titles, accolades, whatever it is, that you can get enough of that, that you can control the outside environment so that your inner experience is one that you actually want to have on a daily basis so you can control what's hit and what's not inside. Because that's really what everybody's doing every day is you wake up and people try to manipulate. I always call them the nouns, people, places, and things, the worldly nouns. They try to manipulate them so that their inner experience is one that they want, or at minimum, one they can handle, right? That's what they're trying to do. That's why I always said business is this conduit for it, because there's a lot of times things that show up in life, period, and in business, that just show up that you're going, that wasn't in my little frame right here that I really wanted to happen. But then we just are so busy. Like, this was my aha moment for me was, you know, I had this $500,000 income goal and I hit it when I was 26 years old. And I knew it was Roth. I knew it was there, but I just kept reminding myself that somehow when I get $500,000 in income, there's going to be this fruit tree in my backyard filling me up with inner peace every moment. It's just, I'm going to be successful, right? Just like everybody else says. And I remember being at a holiday party with my mom, who's the most unassuming individual. And I was like, you know, hey, I made this, you know, $500,000. And she was like, that's great. Pass the ketchup. And it was in that moment that the realization of what I had been really knowing all along came true. It was like, well, nobody cares. And then I asked the deeper question. I was like, do I even care? And I was like, sure, money mechanically is part of our foundation of what makes things happen today. And it's that, but it's not, money is money and joy is joy. And it was in that moment that I realized that they're separate. That, you know, anything outside is not going to tether me inside. But then, you know, I woke up and I said, you know, I don't want to go like live in a cave somewhere, sitting Indian style, or setting haikus around a fire either. Like, that's, it's not even comfortable to sit that way. And I'm not even good at poems. So like, I didn't want to do that. So I wrestled with this question of like, how did the two coexist? Like, really what I really wrestled with, though, the deeper question was, is how do you become successful in terms of monetary wise or accolade wise, and yet still maintain an image of letting people know that you're going into an inward, deeper place of spirituality? Because we have this, particularly Western world, have this impression that anybody that is spiritual should not have money, or anybody that is in business should not be spiritual. And so that's what I really wrestled with, was like, well, how can you go make, you know, $30 million in profit in a year and then all of a sudden, like, tell somebody that you're going inwardly? They instantly turn it off, right? If you talk to Eckhart Tolle, one of the first things he always says is, the number one question I get is, why am I in Starbucks right now? He literally goes to Starbucks every morning. People are like, why are you in here? Like, how come you're not in a robe, right? Like, he's like, because I enjoy coffee and he enjoys red wine. And I'm not saying you need to drink coffee or red wine. I'm just using them as examples. But that was the question that I wrestled with so much, was because we have such a preconceived notion of anybody that wants to do this spiritual work can't be in business making money. And that's really what I've set out to diffuse.
That's exactly why I love what you're doing so much. That's exactly it. And that's exactly true. It's that when we think there's supposed to be this separation.
Yes.
We think business is over here, spirituality is over here. You can't be spiritual and be in business. You can't be spiritual and make money. And it's just not true. Exactly. It's like, it is them both coming together. And I literally, that's why, again, I'm just, what you're doing is great, because it's bringing those two things together. And I feel like that can create massive change and impact in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because if all of these leaders and these business men and women, if they found peace in themselves and they found joy in the everyday, that would flood and go into their work. Yes. So instead of these corporations not looking out for the best interest of humankind or us, right, they would not be in that. They would not be in that energy. They would be in the energy of loving and giving and an energy of peace. So if there were more of these huge leaders and these business people who had this sort of mentality and went into spirituality, the world would drastically change. And I feel like that is
at the pillar of what we need to change in order to kind of to funnel everything down to everybody else. And everyone's journey is their own. It's up to them to find their path and find peace and find joy. But if we can start at the top with these people, not even start at the top, but just include the people at the top and just allow them to also contribute in this way, we'd be living in a completely different reality.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, leadership's work product is decisions. I mean, that's what leaders do. You know, it's like, I think organizations that make higher quality decisions every day are the ones that actually succeed outwardly more as well too.
Yes.
And so part of that is like you work backwards. And this is what I do with leaders. And I always work back and say, well, wouldn't you want more clarity? Wouldn't you want to be able to handle things from a more centered standpoint? And not even using spiritual terms, like wouldn't you rather be clear and centered, making a big decision about where to deploy capital or to who to hire or not to hire. Decisions become less difficult when you're not tied or dependent on the outcome of what's needing to happen from it. It doesn't mean you don't have goals, but remember, goals have a beginning and end. They're not the purpose of your life or the purpose of your business. They're goals, just like in anything. Accountability, you can be full accountability, but you let go of the personal need for something to happen so you can feel turned on by those different things. Then you show up as a leader and you still may make the same decision. The intent is different, right? It's always, remember, spirituality is never about changing what you're doing. It's changing the part of you that's interacting with what you're doing. And if you change that part of you that is interacting with a decision to hire somebody or how to let go of somebody, because in business, you may have to let go of people, right? These things come up, or you have to put somebody on a performance improvement plan, or you have to hold accountability. People always want to know, okay, Adam, I get it. I see that you're doing this. How do I handle this situation in business? Like when rubber's hitting the road, I have to make this money decision, or I have to make this hire decision or firing decision. And it's not like you don't, going inwardly or having a spiritual practice doesn't mean that you just allow life to just run over you. It's actually the opposite. You actually get into action from it. It's just a different part of you. It's not your self-concept or your ego running that and going, okay, how is this going to make me feel if I fire this person? How much more work is this going to make me do if I have to get rid of this person or hire this person? That's all about you. What you look for is like, how is the organization going to be served? How do I let go of me and then serve and answer the questions or make decisions from that standpoint?
Hmm. I love before too, when you mentioned your mom, and just a few simple words, pass the ketchup.
Yeah.
And mothers are beautiful in that sense, right? Very simplistic. But can be so profound and powerful to let you know, it's like, wow, I made this 500 grand, but like, right. And it made you reflect on yourself to be like, do I even care to make this amount of money? And I could see that making, you know, I have this goal of 500 grand and you thinking you're going to be good. Like what could go wrong? You made $500,000. Anything that goes wrong, you could just kind of throw money at it. And it just does not work that way.
No, it doesn't. And for me, you know, and at that point, that was 16 years ago in my life. Within weeks, I started doing transcendental meditation. It was kind of like the next gateway drug into spirituality for me, if you will. And then I kind of started that, you know, but my mind, to be honest with you, going through, you know, like when that moment happened, it's not like I woke up the next day and I was like, oh, I'm in this wonderful state of bliss every moment. Like my intent was there, but I was still trapped in my own patterns of being addicted and Velcro to ego and thought. And for years, it was just like, well, it's not 500, it's a million. And if I just get to a million, and I know it's not there, then it's going to be there. And then I'd get to a million. Then it's like, well, if you just got like just like 10 million, then that would probably really do it. And I'm listening to the mind say this, and I know it's not accurate, but there's a part of me that's still glued to it, right? I'm still like still buying into the bullshit that it's saying. And I'm like, okay, well, that's still there, even though I know from some of the work, it was just, that's why it's so difficult. And then finally, at some point, you know, and it at some point, it just came to this realization where it's like, I've played this game for my entire life. I'm not going to play this game anymore. And so therefore, I'm going to use life as an opportunity. So then I kind of, again, changed my, if you think about it, you call it a mission or a purpose. I don't really call it anything other than just the moment that's in front of me, I raise the moment up so the moment is better off for having passed by me. And that's just how I try to live every moment. I don't succeed at it every time, but that's the intent that I bring into it. And it's not about how do I raise this moment up for me? It's just how do I help the moment be better?
Mm, I love that. Just being right here, right now, how can I make this moment better?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this is why it has to be, it has to be something larger than business, because the purpose of your life can't be a business. The purpose of your life, by the way, can't be your kids. The purpose of your life can't be a legacy you leave. The purpose of your life can't be your partner. It can't be anything that is conditioned upon the world operating a certain way. It can, but it just doesn't work, because what happens if your kids don't like you, or they're not there, or what happens if at some point your business probably isn't going to be there, or you sell it or whatever it is, and you've attracted yourself to it. So if you make it something higher than that, you bring it into whatever you're doing. So you bring it into with your kids, you bring it into your business, you bring it into being with your friends. It's something that's universal that you can then apply in any aspect of your life, regardless of what conditions are happening outside.
Hmm. And you mentioned this about a minute or so ago. You were saying how difficult it is to make that shift. It's like you knew that making a million wasn't going to make you happy, but you were so tied to that thought. And that's because we're so programmed. Like your whole life, like you mentioned earlier, that you said, right, that like through life to be successful, you make all this money and go be successful and be a leader, do all these things. That's what we're programmed forever. For the first however many years of your life, you were very hard programmed to be successful, to be happy. You have to make a lot of money. Work your ass off so that you can make money, so that you can then be happy. So it just takes time, and I'll catch myself in these thoughts. And I've been seeing them come up a lot lately, where it's like, I know this thought doesn't serve me. Why does it keep coming up? And why does it, I know it doesn't really make sense, but why does it still feel like it doesn't make sense, even though I actually know in my heart and soul that it doesn't? And then going deeper, I'm like, it's just programming. They're just these things that have been told to us our whole lives that are just popping up. And so there's those first thoughts that we have and what we're kind of conditioned in. So in order to remove yourself from 20, 30 years of programming, it does take time.
Yeah.
It's a
lifetime journey. You know, are you familiar with samskaras?
I'm not.
Yeah. So I have a whole chapter on this in the 200% Life book, but the samskaras are basically, you know, it's an ancient Sanskrit term that's used 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. And I mean, again, before any of the major publications of Bible or the Gita or any of these things that have kind of come around, like there's then these inscriptions of know thyself in pyramids. It's all been about inward growth. You know, business has only been around for like 60, 70 years the way we see it. Now, I know like Henry Ford had something earlier on, but like really it wasn't like, go get what you want in life, right? It was most of the growth happened, you know, thousands of years ago for human sapiens, was just know thyself, inward growth. So anyways, a samskara, everything is energy, as we all know, right? Everything you bring in, a scientist, a psychologist, and you know, a spiritual individual, religion, it's all about everything is energy. So every event has energy. And so a samskara is basically a stored energy, i.e. an event that occurred that you didn't allow pass through your consciousness. So basically what happens is, the minute you're born, and this can be for many lifetimes, or it can just, if you want to take it from just when you're born, there's a lot of things that don't go your way, or you don't get what you want, right? There's two reasons why people suffer. One is they're trying to avoid something and they get it, or they want something and they don't get it and they suffer. In those moments, you then have resisted what's happening outside. And so therefore you've now stored that energy pattern inside you. Again, and that's what a samskara is. And that's why a circle is the most powerful form in the universe, because it allows it to keep moving, but staying still. So as it does, it forms new. So think about all of the millions of things that have happened in your life so far that you did not like. The fact that your phone didn't charge properly, the fact that there's a light that, you know, preventing you from being late, the fact that your kid didn't sleep when you wanted them to, the fact that they're not operating the same way, the fact that your business employee, you know, didn't show up the way they want. There's thousands of things every hour that show up that cause suffering. And so all of those things are stored in there. So then when things happen outside, they're stimulating, they're hitting all of those stored energy patterns, which then ignites that emotion from it, which is why most things feel negative to us, because the majority of things that we're storing are all negative patterns of emotions. So for instance, like if your boyfriend or girlfriend dumped you in high school and it was very embarrassing and they drove a red pickup truck, anytime you see a red pickup truck, you're instantly hit a little bit, like, ooh, like it just hits you a little bit. And if their name was Sarah and there happens to be a Sarah on the license plate, you're really hit now, right? Right? And again, so you've stored this in there, you didn't release it. And now anytime one of these things reminds you of any of the stored things that happen, it hits you. This is why you can be doing totally okay. You're driving down the road, then instantaneously you see something and now you're no longer there. You're distracted, you're suffering, because And so really the deep work that is here, I believe Earth is a place where souls come to evolve, right? And so part of the work that you do to evolve here is to remove these blockages so you become lighter. And how you do that is through rRNA, which is relax, release, then act. It's the first, Michael Singer talks a lot about it better than I do, relax and release. But, you know, it's and that's really where I got it from. And he's been a mentor of mine and a personal friend for a while. And so that's where that genesis comes from is in my life. Anytime that event hits you, what you do is you relax. You don't relax the event. You don't relax the anger. If anger is angry, that's its nature. It's like a wolf is going to howl and eat meat. It's not going to eat grass just because you want it to, right? So the nature of something is what it is. So what you do is you sit back and relax behind the energy that's trying to be released. And this is why it becomes more painful before it passes through. Because once you relax, you who's witnessing the experience, the awareness, you are the aware of being aware. As that starts to move through you, that is then now gone forever. Because now that some scar is released, and that's why you feel lighter. That's why the release is so important. And then you act. So in situations in business or in personal life, you could do this with kids, whatever it is. Your kids all of a sudden are you know, making a big deal in a store, right? They picked up something, they threw it on the ground. And instead of freaking out, you first, can I handle this, right? First you relax, then you release the disturbance, and then you deal with your child, right? It's the same thing in business. Really, spirituality is all about just handling life. Because that's really, if you're a doctor and you can't handle a sight of blood, you're no good to the scene. So if you're a business leader and you can't handle the situations that are happening in front of you by relaxing and releasing and then acting, then you're no good to the situation. The same thing for parenting or any of the things that are involved there.
That's what I feel like is so great about spirituality. It allows you to slow things down, not react to the situation, not be all frazzled and chaos in your mind and then make a decision. It allows you to take a moment, literally be in the present moment, slow down incredibly, calm your mind, and then make the most logical, rational decision that you can make. And again, if all business leaders did this, my gosh. And so I can't believe, Michael A. Singer, I cannot believe it. When we first started talking, you reminded me of him in your story, because I know in the surrender experiment, he talks about that, right? Where he was very much a spirituality. He kind of wanted to just go off on his land and just kind of hang out and not deal with the difficulties of life. And he realized, like, that's not spirituality at all. You have to be in the mix of things. It's not just sitting and meditating for 12 hours a day. That's not it at all. It's you being in the thick of things, having these experiences happen to you, so then you can practice or be spiritual based off of the thoughts and the practices that you've had. You can actually put those into action in real life experiences.
I think that's why people resonate so well with him, because he, not only does he package it in a way that's very easy, is he's very ordinary individual as it relates to he kept his name, right? He didn't change his name. And there's nothing wrong with people do that, but he also built a massive business. He had over 1,000 employees. He sold it at one time for over $1 billion. And yet, if you've ever gone to his house, he lives in a house that he built in the 70s and hasn't changed a thing in it. I mean, literally, like, he could build any house that he pretty much wanted to anywhere in the world, and he still has a camper stove in it. And, like, I remember one time being in there, I was like, do you want me to buy you a new stove and whatever it is? He doesn't care. And it doesn't mean that you can't go and be so one thing I will say about this, it doesn't mean that you can't be into spirituality and have nice things either. He doesn't say that either. So it doesn't mean it's not one way or another. It doesn't mean like, okay, I'm going to be spirituality, but I've made money, then I got to go move my money over there. That's not what it is either. And it doesn't mean that, like, okay, I've got money and I can't build something. He's given me plenty of examples of people that he know of, high beings that have built beautiful homes and on lakes and spent money. They had the money. It doesn't mean you want to live below your means, obviously, from a mechanical reason. I don't care if you're in a spirituality or not. That's just, you're going to feel better to be able to do that. But it's not about not indulging in life either. It's just that none of those things, you're not doing any of those things as a way to think they're going to turn you on, to think that permanently, that by having a house or by having that vacation or that plane or that person that's going to be next to me is going to ultimately fulfill me up. That is the difference. So it's not even like you're letting go of the attachment, because there is nothing to let go of. You just truly are doing it and, like, wow, this is going to be great. I love building and this is wonderful. I get to build this cool house, or I get to take this vacation, or maybe you don't. But the reality is a thought is a thought that you chase. So if a thought comes up of, oh, I need to go be a very simple person and live in the woods, that is no different than chasing that thought than somebody who says, I need to go make a bunch of money, because you're still chasing a thought. There's still an ego that's there that's directing your life. And so what you need to do for any of this is you surrender, and then you literally, that's when you relax. That's the word surrender. You release, and all that's really doing is saying you're in the present moment. You're now there being able to handle life. And sure, do you get angry at times? Yes, but it's like writing on water. It's like it happens for a moment, then it's gone. It's like the Dalai Lama referred to it as the sacred pause. And they asked him, they said, you know, do you ever get angry? And he goes, of course I do, but it lasts for less than 3 seconds. And so it doesn't mean you don't feel the human experience. It doesn't, if somebody, you know, walks by you and doesn't say hi to you, it doesn't mean you don't feel rejected for a second, but you don't then go, well, why didn't Justin say hi to me? What did I do to him? Was it because Mary over there told him something? And then you're lost for the rest of the day. There's 8.3 billion people in the world. They didn't say hi to you, and you're not bothered by them. So you just go, huh, Justin didn't say hi to me. And then boom, it's gone. You don't do it. Maybe you talk to him next time, but you're not bothered by it. That is the essence of this.
That's one of the things about spirituality that I was even confused at in the beginning, and I feel like a lot of people misinterpret or misunderstand, is that once you're very spiritual, nothing bothers you. You don't feel like angry emotions or negative emotions. It's like, it's not that at all.
Not that.
It was perfect. It's like those things still come up, but that's exactly what it is. You do not let those things ruin and run your day or your life. You see them, you witness them, you observe them. You say, okay, there's anger there. All right, I can feel that for a moment here and there. All right, that doesn't really serve me. Maybe it does actually a little bit. Let me see where that can take me. Maybe it doesn't serve me, and now I can release this thing. It's just not about it overtaking your life and bringing you down and causing you anxiety and depression and fear and lack and all these things. It's witnessing, observing them, checking it out, see if it serves you or not, and then just letting it go.
Yeah, if you get into spirituality and you're thinking that, like, and you're listening to this going like, man, I really doing all these practices and I shouldn't be feeling angry. Well, you should. Whatever you're feeling, you should be feeling. And that's why you're still holding on to the anger, is because you're resisting the fact that you shouldn't be feeling it. That's the relaxation part. Then you go, oh, that's why I always, like, whenever, like, I can feel getting riled. Like the other day, my wife was eating a chip and we was quiet. I was reading and I was eating a chip, and I'm like, oh man, like the first, it could just the crunch. And I was like, man, that bothered me. And then it started bothering me deeper and deeper. And I'm at this point, I'm like, this is wild. I am so bothered right now by you eating this chip that I have to get out of the room and walk away. And my wife just understands now. She's like, all right, go take a quick walk and whatever it is. And I go outside and just walk for a second, come back. I go, okay, I'm better. She's like, okay, good. But like, that's like, it's not like you pretend it doesn't happen. It's not like we go and go, all right, bring me anger. I'm excited for it, right? Like, no, it just shows up. And if it shows up, that's when you get to do the work.
And that was like one of the things too. And I feel like you were literally just speaking right to me as you were talking about that. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. I used to have a crazy temper when I was younger. And now anytime when anger, I've been working through this now for years, where when anger comes up, I want to run from it. I want to say, hey, that's an old version of myself. I don't want that. I don't want to show up as that person anymore. I get away from me. And I do these mastermind calls every Thursday. And about 6-8 months ago, maybe, we were on one of those calls. And I had this breakthrough of realization that it's like, this anger is showing up. I don't need to run from it. It's not who I am. It's an emotion in the moment. It will pass. It is just here for the moment. And what is this anger telling me? Is it telling me, hey, maybe I don't really relate to what is happening in the situation, and that's not aligned to who I am? So then that gives me a better perspective on myself and who I am, right? So there's benefits in those things. And really, as you were just saying that, I was like, I'm reminding myself again, don't run from that. And I've been much better in that in the past 6, 8, 10 months with it. But it is still something, and it's based off of that old programming of myself. Having a temper when I was younger, not wanting it. Everyone telling me, you have a temper, get rid of it. Don't do that. Why are you getting angry? It's all of that on me, that pressure for years and years and years, that makes me like, oh my gosh, this is not, I can't show up in this way. Nobody likes me when I'm this way. I don't like myself when I'm this way. Taking that step, stop identifying it too as a temper, and just say, hey man, this is just an emotion that's coming up for you. Observe it and be with it. Be what it's here to teach you. And like, that's the difference. I feel like that's spirituality, having that thought towards it, as opposed to being like, oh, this sucks, or running with the temper and letting that control my life, allowing me to show up in situations not as my highest self, and in a way that I actually don't really want to show up. Because if I'm angry every single day or have a temper most days, that's not spirituality. That's not who I want to be. So it's realizing that and then moving in that other direction.
Well said. Love it.
Thanks, man. Buddy, let's talk about the book, The 200% Life, Your Guide to Spiritual Growth and Business Success Without Meditating on a Mountaintop. That's like such a great title because it is so real. Because when you think that spirituality, it's like, okay, what are you going to sit somewhere literally on a mountaintop for a few years? And I just love that, man. And I'm glad that you talked already about the relax, release, and act, because I was very intrigued by that. But what do you mean exactly by the 200% life?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, again, we've hinted around the edges of this in this conversation so far, but the 200% life is really a model that I can follow in my life. It's really, you know, there's 100% inner growth, there's 100% inner world, and there's 100% outer world. So really life is not one or the other. And that's that kind of, how do they coexist, right? And so if people think of spirituality, it's like all about 100% inner, or like being present and sitting in this cave, right? But no, there's this whole other 100% that you could just go play with in there. And so really life is about 200%. The 100% inner world exists. You have this voice inside your head, right? Everyone knows it. They can hear the voice. It's talking. If you don't know that you have one, like I would ask yourself right now, listening to Justin and I, are you really listening to us, or are you listening to your mind narrate the conversation about what you liked what I said or don't like what I said, or you like Justin's comment better than mine, right? Like that's just what you're listening to. So that is the voice right there, right? Then you have emotions, which, you know, people feel. And this is the crazy thing. Whenever I talk with individuals who are kind of tiptoeing into this, it's like, or even people that are in this pretty deep, we're already so spiritual. And we just use that word. Like everyone knows the difference between irritation and anger, but there's just such a subtle difference of feeling in there. But they say, you know, I'm really angry right now. You go, no, I'm actually just frustrated. Now I'm disappointed, right? Or I'm feeling joy. But you know, I'm feeling really like high now, and now I'm feeling very vibrant, right? Like, so we have all these different energies that we feel in there. You're the one that's experiencing them, and we've labeled them with words, which is just created for language sake, which is convenient, but we're so good at telling the difference between emotions. So you have these emotions, then you have your spiritual heart, which we can get into at some point. The spiritual heart, that's kind of the inner world. That's the inner experience. And that's what everybody is waking up wanting to have better of. They want a better inner experience, because if you are filled with a high state, right? You can call that love, you can call that joy, call that peace, lightness. Doesn't matter to me what word you call it as, but if you're filled and that's rushing up and you feel that every moment, there really isn't any other problem. I understand that there's mechanical things you have to take care of, but if that's going on inside, then you can clearly deal with anything outside. It doesn't mean you don't cry if somebody dies. It doesn't mean you don't cry if somebody has a baby and it's exciting. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that you're approaching everything not from this need to get things from employees or need to get something from your partner. You know, my wife and I just celebrated 15 years of marriage, and I did a bonus podcast that hasn't aired yet, but for the kind of like the two main things that I've really gained from my marriage. And number one, early in my life, I had convinced myself that since I made money, that my time was more important than my wife's time. And that I had also convinced myself that I would do things for the family, but I only really did things for her when it was convenient for me. And I didn't want to admit that part, but that was something I had to work through, and I had to admit to that. And then the second thing is really bringing in anything, any relationship that you're in, particularly a personal partnership that you're in, is about coming together and both of you working on yourselves. Just kind of gave that example of the chip. My wife and I do that. We'll be like, wow, man, I'm just feeling very irritated right now. I'm sorry if I'm short. I'm just irritated. So don't take any offense to it. We're just really real in our relationship, right? And we have three kids under 12, so they get to experience this and whatnot. So anyways, that's the 100% kind of inner world part. Then you have 100% outer world, which is money. It's the roles we play. It's identities we think we have, right? And you're not any of that. Money is money. Joy is joy. You're not, sure, you take the role of a CEO, but you're also the role of an employee. Then you're a role of holding somebody, you know, doors open for a random stranger at the convenience store. We have all these roles, and they're fine to label as such, but just understand what they are. You're never attached to any of these things. There's people, there's relationships, there's all these different things that are out there, but stop tethering them together. It's there. The outside does not dictate your inside. Your inside should not dictate your outside. And that's the severing of that. And that's where all spiritual teachings point back to this, which is if you're present, right? If you're in the moment, then you can't be thinking of those things. If you're surrendering, then you're able to be in the present moment, right? If you're relaxing and releasing, you're able to handle and understand what's unfolding in front of you. And so for me, this 200% life concept became the one that we really employed in our organization for people to be able to use as a framework for understanding how both of these coexist in life.
Hmm. And in your businesses that you have, since you've become more spiritual, what's like the biggest difference you've seen in yourself? Is it just you have more peace in moments? Are you kinder to your employees? Are you making decisions from a higher place that you've actually seen, wow, manifest into these things that you could have never gotten to before had you not been spiritual? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, the first thing that I really noticed was, wow, like any success that I have does nothing for me anymore. And that can be a really interesting feeling because it could actually, you can lose your motivation if that was your pre-motivation. So that was the first stage that I went through with that, which was like, wow, I haven't been on social media for years, but in the beginning I was like, I don't want to be on this anymore. And then I spoke around the country, you know, a couple times a month and got paid a lot of money to do it. And I just stopped kind of doing it. There's a lot of things, but the reason why I was doing a lot of those things was egotistical, right? It was about, look at me, look how great I am. And so I kind of first went through this first phase where a lot of the kind of drive that I had for business started to wane and removing the old reasons why that was there. And what shows up in return is just this inspiration. And it's not driven by you being and needing something or success from other people. So then it gives you more clarity to be able to go out there and make better decisions in your business. And you allow them to succeed. Sometimes your businesses can wildly succeed. Sometimes your path could do a different one, right? For whatever it is. For us, our businesses continue to succeed dramatically, right? And we grew year after year after year. And that was great. And you're just on that ride for what it is. The decisions that you make become undisguised. This is why people have such a tough time making decisions, is because really when you go to make a decision, what you're doing is you're creating a mental image, a mental movie in your head, and you're allowing the movie to play out around your decision. And then you're waiting to see how you feel inwardly about it. That's really what everybody does for a decision. But let's just take simple of clothes. When you put clothes on, you're pretty sure you know whether it's weather dependent or not, right? And if it feels comfortable or not. You don't need to look in the mirror. So why do you look in the mirror? You look in the mirror to see how it hits your inner state. Mm. To see if I hit this, does it turn me on? If I wear this, does it not turn me on, right? It has nothing to do about the fact that, you know, it's cold out, so you put winter clothes on, or it's hot out, you put summer clothes on. So that's what decisions are all about. Like, how does it hit me? How does it make me affected? That's ego, by the way. It's not about having a Lamborghini or a helicopter. That can be a bravado of why people are doing it. By the way, I know a lot of people that are into deep spiritual work who are very successful, who have things like that, but they don't ever show them. They're not posting them on Instagram. They're not buying them because like they want to make sure everyone knows that they have them, right? And you know the difference because you see those people driving and they're driving slow. They're just enjoying the fact that they love this car or they love this whatever it is that they love. And so the intent is different, right? You can feel the energy that's different. So when you first started doing this, that was the first couple of things that happened for me.
And that was the thing. I'm glad we just kind of touched on that again. The whole idea of like spirituality and not having things. It's like you're either spiritual, yes, or you're successful and you have things. Yes. And it's the end, it's not the or. And those are the differences, right? If, you know, I'm getting a Lamborghini or I'm buying this huge house to make myself happy and fulfill myself, right, that is one aspect of it. There's no spirituality there. When you can be spiritual, there's, and you're 10, like you mentioned, it's different. Your reason for doing these, you get the Lamborghini, not to fulfill you and make you happy, not to show off in front of your people. Maybe it's because you love cars. Maybe because you like driving fast. It's just, it brings you joy and happiness, this act, not hoping that it will fill some void within you to actually bring happiness because you don't have it right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what I found is a lot of those things end up fading away. Even though you drop attachment to them and you can convince yourself, well, I'm not really attached to them. I actually went through this whole thing with Michael on this and I was like, but Michael, I'm just not attached to these things. And he's like, that's great, but that'll ultimately fade away. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then he's right though. Like eventually, like you just go, I love it. It's great. It's not there. It's just, and you find, because what you end up doing is you end up finding in the ordinary moments, they become stronger. And so therefore you don't need extraordinary moments to feel the strength that you have within you. And so the ordinary moments just become so awesome. Driving your kids to soccer, or, you know, my kids ski race where we ski all the time in Stowe, Vermont. So we drive our kids there, and just the chaos of that is, you get lost in that. You don't, that's why people fear death so much, is that they believe that life still owes them some special experience that they're waiting for. And the minute you realize that you are the special experience that you're experiencing, death takes nothing from you. But it's only if you still continue to believe that you are still waiting for some experience that you're going to be afraid, because you're going to feel like you never fulfilled that, because you're always in searching mode. It's like, you know, that the hand of God poem, right? Which is always, just paraphrasing that, it's like people are running because they're in a shadow and they're running the entire time. Finally they get cornered and they realize the darkness that was there was God trying to pick them up and help them out, right? However the paraphrase goes. So we just got to stop running. And the minute you call off the chase outwardly, you turn around and reorient yourself to an inward perspective, which then gives you this wonderful kind of, it starts off with you're just lighter, right? You just are not as angry at everything anymore. And it doesn't, like, it's not, everyone doesn't have an Eckhart Tolle experience. It's one day I'm miserable and the next day I'm on a park bench for 3 years. Because you have a spiritual fracture. I mean, he talks about that. He's like, people should not go through that. Even for 3 years, he was so filled with immense joy, he couldn't do anything because his spiritual side of him could not handle the energy that was there. Just like if you're a runner and you went out and ran a marathon, you may die. Hence why marathons are called the marathons, because the guy literally died running a marathon for the first time ever. He ran, you know, the 26.2 miles. When he landed, he died because his body had so many free radicals. That's why, and he landed in marathon. That's where marathons come from, because he never ran before. So it's the same thing. As you increase your own energy, it's slowly, 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 you just keep removing blockages, removing some scars, removing trauma, removing damage, and that energy really starts to flow up, and then you find yourself just lighter. And I always say real personal growth or spiritual growth is something that used to bother you no longer offends you in the same way, i.e. it just doesn't bother you anymore. A great example of this, I got my brother into meditation, and he's on this path and different than he has been for years. And his wife, he was telling me this was years ago, but he used to get really bad road rage. And this car was sitting in front of him and wouldn't turn, and like sat there for like 90 seconds. And he was just talking and the car turned off. And like 2 minutes later, his wife turns to him and she's like, what is wrong with you? He's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, what is wrong with you? And he's like, well, what do you mean? She's like, how did you not get upset? I don't even get angry. And I was upset about that car. And he's like, I guess I didn't even notice it. That is true spiritual personal growth right there.
Mm. Everything is our thoughts. That situation of being stuck behind a car, you create that situation. That person being there and you being stuck is not the actual situation. You create what happens in your mind. And you can create the situation of, oh my gosh, this is so aggravating. Why am I stuck here? This sucks. Or you can just sit there and not even notice it. Or notice that it's happening and just be like, all right, this is just life right now. What can I do? This car's in front of me. Like, I can get really angry, or I can choose to not get angry and just be in the moment and just be with my wife or with my kids and enjoy this and not allow my thoughts to take me away. That's like the beautiful thing that spirituality fills you in on, is that it's, everything is inward. Everything that's happening on the outside is only a reflection of how you are on the inside. And once you realize that, that is the game changer, because you're not waiting on outside circumstances to hopefully finally align and make sense for you to feel good. You realize that it's you feeling good that then creates more circumstances where you can feel good. I wanted to ask you this because I'm very intrigued by this. You were mentioning before that, you know, before you found spirituality, your inspiration was to make money and to, you know, make 500 grand and make a million. What is your inspiration now? When you get up every day, when you go to work, when you run these businesses, what is that new inspiration?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's every moment that passes by me that I raise the moment up, so it's better off for having passed by me. And that's just literally what I wake up every morning and just remind myself of that. And again, you know, I have I'm no different than a lot of people. I own multiple businesses and I've got three kids under 12 and got all the same mechanical challenges that a lot of people do, but it's just, you just interact with them more freely. They just don't bother you the same way. They're sure you still have to deal with all of this. Remember, people get so confused about this. Like spirituality is, doesn't mean you just, people say, oh, I'm just going to surrender. Like you just got to like, just lie down and let people run, all, let my employees run all over me and let a tiger eat me and let my kids just be crazy. That's your ego, by the way, saying that. Just understand that's your voice taking you in a different direction. It's not about not holding your kids accountable or not having those or having your employees be fired or hired. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just you start to show up without that voice, without the emotional baggage. So that's why I said in the beginning, spirituality is truly just about handling the situation in front of you. If you can handle the situation with clarity, it's wonderful because then you're doing the best. It doesn't mean it's going to be the way you want it to. It doesn't mean life is always going to turn out the way you want it to just because you're down this path. But what you are doing is you're putting yourself up in the highest position to make the highest probability of alignment with life.
Yes, nice. And that's why, I mean, I think there's massive misconception with the idea of surrendering. And that's why Michael's book is so great, because he gives clarity to that, where that's what people think surrendering is, getting run over. Mm-hmm. Surrendering is just surrendering to the moment of what's happening. It's allowing what is happening to happen without you getting all worked up and all aggravated and letting it ruin your day. You just sit there like you're, I don't know, your kid crashes their car. They're safe, everything's fine, but it's your car. They just learned how to drive and they crash your car. Surrendering in that moment is saying, oh, okay, I'm surrendering to this moment. They crashed the car. I may have to deal with all of these things, but I don't need to allow this to tear me down, ruin my day, have me scream at my child. Those things don't have to come. It's just allowing what is to be and then moving through that in the most peaceful, empathetic, loving, forgiving way that we can.
Yeah. The other day I was, this was like a week ago. We're getting hit with snow and I live up in the mountains, like 10 minutes from Stowe, Vermont, or the actual mountain. And, I was driving, it's actually New Year's Day. So a couple weeks ago, New Year's Eve, and we're having a party. I had to run down to the store. And so I get in and we had like 8 inches of snow that day and it was plowed, but it was still, I guess it was slippery. And we had this hill and I'm going 11 miles an hour at the top of this hill. And all of a sudden I hit my brakes and it just starts sliding. And I'm sliding and there's a T intersection right at the bind that there's a house on the backside over an embankment. And there's some trees right there, some really big pine trees and stuff. And so now I'm going 13, I'm going 14, I'm picking up speed and I'm trying everything. I try to put my car in reverse. Like I had seconds to understand what was going on. I mean, it was like, I'm sliding for 250 yards. So like, it's like, I'm sliding, right? I'm picking up speed. I'm going, well, there's no cars coming to the intersection. And I'm like, finally at one point, I'm like, this is just gonna happen. So I'm just gonna like, let go. I relaxed for a second. And then at the last minute, as soon as I hit the snowbank, I kind of turned just enough, took over this 5-inch spruce tree instead of hitting a pine tree. And it just, it brought me over the edge, but it didn't. I thought for sure I was going to hit the pine tree. The airbag was going to explode. I thought I was going to fall over the embankment, but it didn't. It pulled me right there. And I stopped and I'm like, huh, well, that was a wild ride. And I get out and I'm like, I guess I get to see my friend help me tow me out. And I'm going to walk back home and I'm going to take photo. It's just like, I'm going to enjoy now dealing with this. It's not like I wanted it to happen, but now what's my choice? To go back and ruin the rest of my day because of this? And I was like, who knows how much damage is going to make. I'm like, we'll deal with it. Like you're just, and so it's not, that's where I go back to, at minimum, you can always accept it. You can always just accept it instantly. Like I remember, and I teach this course called Project You, and I remember telling them the next day, I was like, instantaneously, I just accept it. It was just like, it happened, it's over, it was done. I was like, this just happened. How quickly can I accept this? And you don't get a ton of moments like that where they take you like that, where you can work at that level to go, how quickly can I accept this? How quickly can I accept it? And then boom, you just do this work, you move on and you're light. And the funny thing is I get my buddy comes, he tows me out. We get the road sanded. I call him so nobody else has that happen to him. And I had a couple dents on my, it wasn't bad, but it's fine. And it was one of those experiences, but don't let those things go to waste when things happen that, you know, again, that we don't put ourselves in those situations that often. So when they do, or all of a sudden something happens in life, things are going to happen in life that take you fully. And all of a sudden you're face to face present as be, right? The minute you can bring yourself back to awareness, go, can I accept this? Is a great opportunity to work.
Yes, it is. It really is. Like those moments, they really are so special because we need them in order to actually put into practice what we've been practicing, right? To actually put those things into our real life experience, we need these sorts of situations. And that's what's helped me a lot in those moments to be like, okay, we talked about this before I hopped on, to be like, all right, this kind of does suck in the moment, but this is here to help me and to help me grow. And in that situation where you had the dent in your car and you're like, that wasn't that bad. Everyone understand like that dent in your car is a neutral situation. Everything is neutral. It's your perception of it. So Adam, you have a great perception of it. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not that the dents were not that bad. That was just how you viewed it. I could have viewed it as this is terrible. This is awful. The situation is the same. It's just our thoughts or perspectives of it are different.
It just comes down, right? Just like how much this is when the Buddha came back and said, I figured all life out. All life is suffering, right? And then he said, the cause of all suffering, and I paraphrase, but the cause of all suffering is preference. I think he said desire, but people get lost with that word. The cause of all suffering is preference. And just to your point, Justin, that's exactly what it is. I have a preference for not wanting having dents. Well, then you're going to suffer, right? So like, again, it doesn't mean you can't get it fixed, your car fixed. It's just right now I have a dent. Okay. Now I either suffer from the fact that I have a dent, or I can just laugh at it and be like, wow, that was a great, I chalk it up and glad I'm okay. I haven't had an accident in 10 years. That was a wild experience and great. I can share the story. I don't know. Like, it's just, you decide how you want to live your, look, there's nobody, this is a single occupancy apartment. Nobody else lives in there with you. Your mom doesn't, your partner doesn't, your kids don't. How do you want to live in there? How do you want to live your life? I could, you know, other people's opinions of you is not your business. You shouldn't care. Like they're living in there. You're living in there. Just anyways. So you're living and having your experience.
It's so true. It's everything. I really had like a realization about 2 days ago. I was mentioning to Adam before we hopped on, we have a newborn and then we have a child just under two, and the newborn is crying way more than our daughter ever cried. And I was catching myself getting aggravated at him crying and wishing he wasn't crying. It's like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? It's like, what? It's like, I'm wishing he's not crying. So in my mind, I'm saying, if he cries, I'm going to get aggravated. Yes. I'm setting myself up for failure right there. This beautiful quote from Eckhart Tolle. All right. See if you can catch yourself complaining in your speech or thought, in what other people are saying about your life situation or the weather. To complain is always non-acceptance of what is. It carries an unconscious negative charge. It does so much. When you complain, you make yourself into a victim. So change the situation by taking action, by speaking out if necessary or possible, or leave the situation or accept it. All else is madness. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. Like, that helps me in moments to be like, it's madness for me to not surrender to this, to me wishing it was something else. Like, if you can make action and change it, then do that.
You know, what you find is that the more you really surrender in that, in the way that he described that, and the way we're talking about it here is, again, all you're doing is, nobody ever in life, in history, I don't care who you are, has ever changed what's happened. So what you're surrendering to is what just happened. So if somebody punches you in the face, you're not going to take that back. So you can still move out of the situation. If somebody just comes up and tells you that you're fired, that's not going to change, right? That just happened. Somebody tells you that you have cancer or you have a broken leg, that just happened. So it's not that you want these things or don't want these things. They've happened. So you resisting the fact that you can't handle that then causes madness in his definition. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can't go, oh, I've broken my leg. Great. I can accept this. Now I go to cast. People sign it. Like, there's so many different ways to, you just want to look at those things. But the first step in all of this is purely about making sure that you are truly accepting what has happened. And acceptance gives you this peace to then deal with it, to then act on it and have that the interaction. But anyways, what I was saying before is once you truly surrender in that way, you'll find that, I don't know what the percentage is, 80% of what, there is no action to take. The only reason why most people take action, because they get all wound up. It's like the example that I love is, if you have a clear pond, you have a huge clear pond and you don't like ripples, but you throw a rock in the middle and the ripple is an emotion, right? So you throw a rock in the middle and the motion starts to go, the ripple starts to go, and you go, I don't like ripples. I got this. I know how to get rid of it. So you jump in the pond and start smoothing out the ripples. Well, all you're doing is creating way more emotion to the whole thing, right? Versus if you just let the ripple come to the side and then go back, it just fades away. It ignored guests quickly leaves, right? And so that's the same thing in here. When you surrender, what you're doing is you're allowing the ripple to figure, to finalize itself and then slowly pass. And now it's back to a clear state. Then you can make decisions. But a lot of times when you do that, you realize there is nothing for me to do. I don't actually need to take an action. The only reason why I needed to go call Johnny based on what Eric said was because I was all upset about it. If you actually remove that, here's one that people get a lot. How many times have you sent an email that you know you shouldn't have sent? How many times have you sent a text message that you know you shouldn't have included that sentence in there? That's what I'm saying is there, that action just goes away because it's not helpful to life, period.
Mm. Nice, man. Adam, I want to ask you the question that I ask every single guest. So, when I think about how this actually means to me, this isn't my purpose. This isn't, I don't know. It's not like my goal in life. Me being here as this version, Justin, in this lifetime, what I feel most fulfilled in and what just resonates with me and makes me feel whole is through this podcast, through the Spread Love movement, social media, is to help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that is more peaceful, that's more loving, more empathetic, forgiving, one that's more kind, and a consciousness that is more one. We are one. I would love it. And honestly, it's like not even having the attachment to wanting us to act as one, but being here and putting out this content and information and knowledge fulfills me in that sense. So Adam, what do you feel like, or how do you feel like every single day you are helping in your actions and what you do at work, whatever it may be? How do you feel like you are helping create this shift to a consciousness that is more loving, forgiving, whole, consciousness that's more one?
Yeah, I think the heart itself takes 80% of the most rich nutrient blood that the body produces. So one could say that the heart is very self-indexed or selfish. But the reality is the heart takes 80% of the rich nutrient blood to share with the rest of its organs to make sure the body is functioning properly. And so for you, the more deeper the work that you can do, the more the releases you can do, the more surrender, and the more you can handle life, the more you can show up and serve in any capacity. Sometimes that means no action. Sometimes no action is the best possible course. Yes. Sometimes action is the actual course. But the clearer you are, the decisions become undisguised. And then you just get to, doesn't have to be in a mechanical way. It doesn't have to be through a podcast or through a book or through anything. It's just you are showing up clear in anything, in any interaction that you're doing. You're talking to somebody at Dunkin' Donuts. You're showing up clear. You just give them a little bit of your energy. And that energy is everything that we are. And that's how you can showcase and make a difference in the world. And it's really only egoic to think, I only need to do this to 100,000 people, or X number of people have to listen to my podcast or buy my book. It's just, the reality is if you just go out there and just change the part of you that's interacting with life, you're done.
Yes. Adam, yes, that's it. Like the content, social media, the podcast, those are fun for me. Those are nice, yes, like releases, and I can totally put those out there. But what it comes down to is me. Yes. Not this podcast, not the post that we do on social media. It is me in my every single day. How am I showing up? How am I showing up to my family? How am I showing up just to even you in this podcast right now? How am I showing up to the person who is stuck at the red light for 90 seconds, who isn't moving? Like, that's really what it's about. It's who we are and how we're showing up every single day. I love that, man. Yeah. Adam, I want to ask you another thing too, man. I seen in some of your work before, you know, you put, you can handle anything. Here's how.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Relax, release, then act. It's RRNA.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how you handle it. There's no other way. No other way.
I love that there's two steps before acting. A lot of us will just act, right? It's more of a reaction than even an action. And we'll just react to the situation based off of old programming, our past experiences. We'll come into that moment. And that's something that we do a lot too, that we don't actually act in the moment to what's happening. We're acting based off of all of our past experiences. So I think when we can relax, release, it gives us that moment to settle ourselves in the present and then act based just on that present moment, not based off of, well, a similar situation happened to me before, like this, what's going to happen that same way again. It's just allowing that new moment to be whatever it's going to be.
That's awesome. Very beautiful.
I love that, man. Relax, release, and act.
Yeah.
So simple and so profound. Is there anything else, Adam, that you feel like you want to leave us here with? Anything else? We're going to get into links to your your book and to your social media. But is there just anything else that you found now, you know, because I just think your journey is so important. And there may be journeys like yours, but I haven't really seen this very many places, Adam, like for real. I haven't really seen this as the forefront of somebody putting out their business and spirituality. And that's why I'm so in love with what you're doing, because I feel like it's, of course, because I feel like it's not out there. And I think it is crucial for the consciousness of the planet. So is there just anything, you know, that you felt through this journey that you want to help other business leaders out there who haven't found that yet, who still may be suffering and maybe unhappy with the work that they're doing?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is anybody can change at any moment. And yes. Life is actually very simple. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, what you've had, whatever karma, it can be wiped away the minute you decide to reorient set. And the most important thing is your intent. That'll take you the rest of the way. So the thing that what does that mean? You could be in jail right now, but your intent is to get pure and you'll be pure, right? And that's it. It has to take you, but that intent has to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's to me, that is the most important thing that you can have. And what you're really doing is you're raising your sights. You're moving them beyond the worldly aspect of it. And you're raising them something larger than yourself or larger than any activity or action that you're doing.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Thank you for just bringing that up. That is, I think, so imperative for people to understand is that you can change right now.
I know. So,
whenever I'll catch myself sometimes assuming I'm going to be a certain way in a situation because of my past self, and I'm like, release that idea.
Yep.
Like, let that go.
Yep.
I don't need to keep recycling older versions of Justin. I can be a new person right now. And that's what it is. People who feel stuck, it's like the only reason why you're still acting in that same way is because, and you think you can't change, is because you think you can't change. That's it. The only thing holding you back is your own thought towards it, saying, hey, this is how I've been my whole life. I can't change.
Yeah.
Right. Once you adopt and truly understand that each moment is brand new,
yep,
whoever you decide to be in that moment, and you actually realize that and adopt that, you'll start to change. You'll start to have new realities. You'll start to have new experiences. You're not going to keep recycling the same things over and over again.
Yeah. Love that.
Buddy, if you can please let everybody know where they can find your book, where they can find you online, social media, how they can reach out to you, because I hope there's people listening right now that are in business. It's weird to say I hope this, but I hope there are people out there right now who are in business who are suffering a little bit, because they are there. It's more that I hope that they're listening because they exist. So I hope that they're listening and that they can tap into you and your knowledge and your wisdom and really help them move in a more profound, more peaceful, more joy-filled direction.
Well, thank you so much for that. You can go to adamhergenrother.com and it'll probably be in the show notes, but you can go to Amazon and the 200% Life book is there, or you can go to the 200% Life podcast, wherever you listen to any of your podcast there, and love to hear from you.
Beautiful. And yes, everything will definitely be in the show notes. Adam, man, I appreciate you so much. What you're doing, what you're putting out there into the world. I'm so like happy and grateful for you that you found this practice that you kind of had to be pushed very far in one direction, you know, all the success that you were having, and then realize that you were just not fulfilled at all, which is such a beautiful moment to have, though that was
part of the journey.
Yeah. Even though, you know, those moments can be very painful at times to be like, wow, I feel like shit. I am not fulfilled. That is a transformative moment for you. And you took it, man, and you ran with it and you brought so much beauty out of that. So just appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all the work that you're doing and spreading this message.
Of course, buddy. Everybody, we love you so much. Reach out to Adam for real. There are a lot of business people out there who do feel lost, who do feel unfulfilled. If it's you, if it's somebody else, please hit up Adam. Definitely check out his book. Seriously, we love you all so much. Thank you for taking this time to be here with me and Adam, and cannot wait to see you next week. Thank you, buddy. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.